It's time to learn all you can about buying, selling, financing, and developing real estate in today's market. Welcome to Mortgage Solutions with Tim Halliday, the show that provides you with the information you need when considering any real estate venture. Just sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and get your questions ready, because Tim will be helping you attain your goals in the complex world of real estate. Here's your host, Tim Halliday.
Welcome to Mortgage Solutions. I am your host, Tim Halliday. The purpose of this show is to educate you about real estate and real estate financing so you are better equipped to take on the largest transactions of your life. Yes, I use the plural intentionally because I believe everybody should own more than one piece of real estate at a time. It is a great time right now to own and buy and own real estate. And I want you to be able to participate in that. Did you know that 95% of all millionaires in the United States are made in real estate? That is not an accidental number. Why would you try the other 5% when 95% are doing it that way? Let me tell you something else. Anybody can do this. You don't need a ton of money, or if you do, it doesn't have to be your money. It is a capital intense business for sure, but there are capital sources out there and there are ways for you to participate. So again, owning your own home is a first step. There are ways to do that that can help you build your real estate portfolio with very little money. So we talked about that in the past and we'll probably talk about it again in the future. But if you have questions about that, you can always call me. I am live in studio today, 862-2373. That's 862-2373. If you have questions, I am happy to answer them, whether they're on topic or off topic. Whatever you have questions about with regard to real estate and financing, I'm here to answer those questions. And if I can't, I won't make stuff up, I promise. I'll just answer it as honestly as I can, and then I'll find out the answer if I don't have it. So give me a call. But I've been doing this a long time, 25 years. I've been buying, selling, investing in real estate. So there is not a lot in real estate that I haven't seen. There is some stuff I haven't seen, but you know, I continuously run into it. It's kind of interesting, though, but it keeps me on my toes and helps me continue my education, which is, of course, an endless process. The more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And that's always the case in anybody that tells you that they're an expert in something. It just means that they know where to go find the answers. Hopefully, they don't pretend to have all the answers. But let's talk about the market. What's going on in the market today? So today, actually, the Dow Jones Industrials, about 2 minutes ago, were up 104 points. So they're setting at 17,967. So it looks like we're about to break through that $18,000 point mark again, which we did fairly recently. And then everything kind of collapsed. The 10-year bond is sitting at 1.98. Now, last week, I told you it had gone up quite significantly, and it was sitting at 1.81, and it did crest over 2 a couple of days ago. So that's an indication that rates could be going up. However, mortgage-backed securities have stayed fairly stable and strong. Rates have ebbed up just a tiny bit in the last week or two, but I think this is just a normal ebb and flow. We're not seeing any major correction right now. And the pundits, which are a lot smarter than I am, say that they expect rates to stay flat or maybe even there's a slight decrease in the future. It all depends on what's going on in the not only the national economy, but the global economy. And right now, there's plenty of questions. So one day, the markets are optimistic that we're going to have a debt deal in Greece. The next day, we're all nervous and jerky over the Ukraine. And the day after that, you know, nuclear Iran is going to happen. So we just don't know. And there's always enough instability right now to blame somebody when the market collapses and tips and turns. And the important thing is, and I use, forgive me for using words like collapse and devastation and things like that. I don't mean to over dramatize it. Your life is probably not going to change if mortgage interest rates change a lot, as long as you get in at the right time. And, you know, people were fine when they were buying houses at 7% and 8%. They were just buying less house or spending a little bit more money on their house. The world still revolved. Everybody was happy. They just spent more money on interest. So again, it's not the end of the world, but it sure is nice to get in on a market where interest rates are so low, and they really are. They've been fantastic. for quite a while. So we talked the last couple of weeks about some of the benefits of home ownership and the affordability index and how to build your team. This week, I want to talk about decision making if you're a real estate buyer. So if you're a homeowner and you are about to embark on the home ownership trek, there are several things that you need to know. And believe it or not, I've worked with dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, probably it's in the hundreds of buyers. And so I kind of see patterns. I work with folks and I understand kind of what their thought processes are. And I see what works and what doesn't work. So I have taken all of that information. I'm going to cram it into just a few minutes today and try to help you understand a very effective process for helping you find the home that you want. So first of all, I want to share with you a couple of tidbits that I gleaned from a book that I recently read, Malcolm Gladwell's Blink. So it's a book on mass psychology, and it talks about how people make decisions in general. And one of the things I found interesting, not surprising, especially after having shown as many homes as I have and helped buyers as much as we have at Living Well Realty, but I see that when, and this is a truth, this is not my experience, although I have experienced it, when people walk into the home that they ultimately want to buy, typically that decision is made instantaneously sometimes when they pull up, sometimes when they walk through that door. And nobody knows for sure what triggers that decision, but the decision is made in one half of your brain almost immediately. And that decision is based on your personal lifetime experiences. So if you're a couple, it's not always the same aha moment for both folks. Sometimes you walk into a home and maybe it triggers a memory of grandma's oatmeal cookies cooking in the oven, or it triggers a memory of your childhood when you went over to a friend's house who you thought really had it going on and you were impressed with their home. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's from watching television and this is your opinion of upscale. So whatever it is, your brain makes a decision. This is it. And everybody's brain does that, by the way. So typically, when people say, well, how will I know when it's the right house? It's kind of like asking the question, how will I know when I meet the right girl? You'll know. Then what happens with people is that the other half of your brain, and I don't remember whether it's left or right brain, I'm not a psychologist, and I don't play one on the radio, but the other half of your brain talks you out of that decision. So that's the rational side of your brain. That's the analytical side of your brain that says, well, it's an extra mile from the school, or it's this much further from work, or it's got this problem, or I'll probably never get it to look like what I want it to, or whatever that is. And some of the concerns are legitimate, and some of the concerns are contrived because we don't like making decisions. We don't like change all the time. Unless you're a family of four shoehorned into a two-bedroom apartment, then you may want to make some changes, in which case, again, you're going to walk through that door and you're going to say, oh, this is it. This is the one I was looking for. So how do you find that house? How do you narrow your choices down when you have no idea? You've never looked for houses. Maybe you're not tied to an area, or you think you're not tied to an area in particular. So there's a lot going on when somebody decides that's a major purchase. So here's another piece of information that's going to help you along the way. And then we're going to talk about a specific process, which is kind of fun for me. I love this part of what I do, is helping people through that process. But the part I want to talk about immediately is when you embark on this process, like I said, it's the largest decision you're ever, well, not ever, it's a large decision. It's one of the biggest decisions people make because it's the largest amount of money people spend in their lives is typically on their home. But let me encourage you, it's not a life or death decision. Nobody's losing a limb. Nobody's going to the hospital. If you buy the house and it's the wrong house, guess what? You can sell the house. You're not trapped in something. It's not a one-time decision. People buy and sell homes all the time. And as long as you buy the house correctly and you're not getting sold by some fast-talking realtor or broker or something, then, or seller as far as that goes, then you'll be able to resell the house. Now, there are instances where you're buying the house and it's a great market, and then the market changes. We all know that happened in 2008, 9, and 10. The market collapsed. So you may have bought the dream home that you thought you wanted and decided you didn't like it, and then the value may have been off $100,000 the next month or the next year. In that case, you're going to have to wait a little bit, or you're going to have to pay it down, or you're going to have to suck it up. You may have to wait. But again, nobody's losing a limb here. This is not the end of the world. So it's a major decision, but it's not a life or death decision. So my point in telling you this is you can have a little bit more of a lighthearted view on finding a house. It is not the last house you're ever going to buy. And statistically, people stay in their homes, their first homes, less than 7 years. So this is a major decision, but it's not the major decision. It's not what career you're going to have or what person you're going to spend the rest of your life with by any means. Not that you can't change a career, and hopefully you don't change the person that you spend the rest of your life with. It's not that big a decision, but it's still a big decision. So let's talk about the process of finding a home. And you know what? I'm gonna cut to my commercial a little bit early today, because once I get into this, I really want you to focus on this process and maybe take some notes, because it's gonna be valuable to you. So we're gonna go away for a second, and we'll be right back. As a Capital Region local for 22 years, I've been on all sides of the home buying and selling process. Buying several investment properties myself, I know what concerns you have, and I will not place you in a home that is more than you can afford. This is about what's right for you, not me. As a servant of the Lord, I am accountable to God Himself for every single thing that I do, including helping you into that new home. To be a good steward, I'm not only a registered mortgage broker, but a licensed real estate broker as well. With 20 plus years of experience, I will help you through the entire process. I disclose all of the standard fees up front to make sure there are no surprises at your closing. Call me for any of your mortgage needs today at 899-7700. That's 899-7700.
Victory Funding is a New York State registered mortgage broker. All loans through third-party providers.
Welcome back to Mortgage Solutions. I'm your host, Tim Halliday. We are live in studio today, 862-2373. Give us a call, 862-2373. If you have a question that you're not comfortable asking on air, or maybe you don't want to be on air, you can always give me a call at my office at 899-7700. Or if you send a referral to us, you can send it to that number. For Living Well Realty, give us a call at 899-5000. 899-5000. Also, I want to encourage you to visit my blog. And that's timhalliday.com. Just spell my name correctly. The last name is Halladay. So two L's, all A's, timhalliday.com. I post my radio shows there along with some interesting blog information. And it's a great resource for you to get some questions answered. So you're certainly welcome to go there and glean whatever information you can. Like my Facebook and pages and send me good feedback, and I will appreciate it eternally. So let's talk about the process of making a decision. First of all, like I said, you tend to do it instantaneously once you've narrowed down the results. So that's the first part. We're going to talk about your process. So your process is all about your goals. So you have to know why you're buying a house. It's very important. And that sounds ridiculous. Well, I'm buying a house to live in. Really? Are you? Or are you buying a house maybe to start your investing portfolio? Or maybe you've never even thought that those two are congruent. But if you're interested in owning more than one piece of real estate, your first home could be a 2, 3, or 4 family house. Then when you're ready to move on, regardless of what the market is doing, you can rent the other part, your unit, move into whatever house you want. You don't have to sell your house in order to afford another house. It's a great way to transition. It's a great way to own some real estate. And guess what? If you buy a house in your early 20s, let's say you're, just to pick a number, 23 years old, and you buy a 3-family, if you never buy another piece of investment property the rest of your life, but you stay there for, let's say you stay there for 5 years, and then you buy a single family, when you're 53 years old, if you don't make an extra penny payment on that, you'll own a 3-family free and clear. And that three family could throw off, could easily throw off $2,500 to $3,000 a month. So that's not a bad supplement to your early retirement. Now, maybe you bought a couple of properties between 23 and 30, and now you've got 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 units that before you're 60 years old are going to be paid in full, and it doesn't matter what the rest of your retirement looks like because you've taken control of your retirement, not the 401k and the market and all of these forces that you have no control over. So it's a great retirement plan, and the earlier you start, just like any retirement plan, the better off you'll be. So you've got to know what your goals are. You've got to know why you're buying that house. Are you buying it as a stepping stone? Are you buying it to begin your investment portfolio? Are you buying it as the last house you're ever going to buy? Maybe you're not a first-time home buyer. Maybe you're a second home buyer. Maybe this is your retirement home. So you have to know why you're buying the home. So decide that. And most of you think you'd already know. Sometimes when somebody throws some other ideas out, it can mess up the way you're thinking. So understand the reason that you're buying the real estate. That's the first part of your process. Next, you want to look at the major criteria. So everybody knows the old adage, when you buy real estate, what's the most important, three most important things? Location, 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 right? So you need to know what location is important to you. Now, location, location, location has a lot to do with value. So you can look at that. You can look at from a market standpoint, which is important to do, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But at the end of the day, you need to determine the location that's best for you. So here are some things that I find buyers think of most importantly when they think of location. I think the number one item is schools, if you have school-age children. Now, schools are important. School districts are important. Even if you don't have school-age children, they're important because when you resell the property, it's important to other people. So you have to constantly think about who's going to buy this house when I'm done with it. And maybe done with it is 30 years, but you still have to think about that. So schools, commute. Let me give you an example here. I had a buyer who thought that they were making a great decision. I tried to give them my opinion, and they decided that rather than buying a smaller house closer to work in an area that was a lot shorter commute, that was closer to family, that they could buy twice as much house for the same price if they were willing to commute an hour back and forth to work every day. So they bought that house. 18 months later, they called me and said, "You've got to sell this house. We cannot deal with this commute. An hour is ridiculous. I'm on the road 2 hours a day. It's costing me a fortune in gas. What I thought I was saving, I'm not." Which, you know, was basically an echo of what I had told them before they bought it. So the commute is really important, and you may think you're saving money by being far away from your work and buying more house in the, you know, in a super rural area, or maybe in an urban area and you're commuting back to a suburban area. Doesn't really matter. The commute matters. So, you know, I have another buyer right now who commutes 2 hours each way to work. But guess what? They're a pilot. They do it once every 3 weeks. It's no big deal. I have other folks that drive tractor trailer. They can live, honestly, their base is in Pennsylvania. They have to drive down there to get in their truck once a week, but it's really no big deal because they drive for a living. So, and it's not an everyday thing. So the commute is important to think about, and your situation is the most important situation to take into account, not mine. Shopping. Believe it or not, that's a major concern. Do you mind driving 15 minutes to have to buy milk or to go to the grocery store? I'll be honest with you. I drive 15, 20 minutes to get to the grocery store. I don't mind it. I like where I live. So I don't mind that. I can live with the rural setting. And the trade-off to me is well worth it. But that's not the case with everybody. You know, somebody grew up in an urban area. If they can't walk out the door and pick up a container of milk within 5 minutes, it's a travesty to them. Believe me, I've talked to those folks. They don't get it. And I don't get their life, so that's okay. Church or other community service. I've worked with several buyers that have bought based on the proximity to their church because they're there 3 or 4 times a week. That's a tremendous
idea.
So think about location, but the location is needs to be your first choice as far as criteria, because when you go to search, or when I go to help you search for a home, that's going to be something that is going to help us narrow the results very, very quickly. So the location, and again, I don't want you to pick a 1 by 1 square mile area. You need to pick an area that's as large as you can stand to be in driving distance. You know, the other thing I didn't mention, of course, is proximity to family. That is an enormous factor. I see this over and over and over again. The number one reason people leave the state is not typically to escape New York, which is a legitimate reason to leave, but a lot of times it's to be by their grandkids, because their kids left the state. So they're moving to Colorado, or they're moving to North Carolina, or they're moving to Texas just to be closer to their grandkids, or kids that want to be closer to their parents because, you know, they like the free babysitting service, and it's important to be close to family. So I certainly support that. That's a major location reason and thing to consider. So the next thing is you're going to determine, so you've determined location. Again, very big deal. Next is determine your needs. Notice I did not say desires at this point. These are absolute needs. So the first part of that, now we're talking about the physical house. We've got a location down. Now we're going to talk about the physical house. First, number of bedrooms. How many bedrooms do you need? If you're a family of four and you've got twin boys, you could live with a two-bedroom because your boys can bunk together and they'll survive, maybe. Maybe they'll kill each other. I don't know. But you may want three. If you need three bedrooms, you really want to buy a four-bedroom. If you need two bedrooms, you really want to buy a three-bedroom. And by the way, while we're talking about number of bedrooms, my advice to buyers is always avoid a one- or a two-bedroom house. And that is a single family, standalone, detached house. If you're buying a townhome, a two-bedroom townhome is okay to buy. A two-bedroom house is typically not a great idea. Why is that? That is because somebody who wants a two-bedroom townhome likes the idea that there's a neighborhood. They like the idea that somebody else is taking care of stuff because there's typically a homeowners association involved with that. And they like the idea that it's relatively small. Somebody that wants a house, a standalone house, doesn't typically want a two-bedroom. And if they can live with a two-bedroom, they can live with a three-bedroom. If they need a three-bedroom, they can't live with a two-bedroom. So buying a two-bedroom house is, again, thinking second generation, not always a great idea. Now, if you're downsizing and you're retiring and it's a lot less expensive and you find that great little house and you're not going to have a ton of guests, it's just you and your husband or wife, and that extra bedroom is literally an extra bedroom, have a blast. But just remember what I said. The reason you're getting it for $20,000 less than you think you should be paying for it is because that's what you're going to be able to sell it for. So always think that second generation. Number of bathrooms. These days, a one-bathroom house is almost obsolete. It's almost dysfunctional. It's very rare to find a house that's easy to sell that has one bathroom. You want at least a bath and a half. I always recommend two. But you've got to look at your needs. And the number of females in the house. Not to be discriminatory, but they tend to take more time in the bathroom, and which is okay, but you may want to consider that. Number of garage spaces. So this is if you're a guy. You want more garage spaces. More is always better. You can never have too many garage spaces, I always say. So if you find a 5-bay garage, you know, with a 2-bedroom house, you know, you might want to think about that. I'm just kidding. Actually, that's a terrible idea because it's kind of obsolete, although most guys are out there drooling going like, that'd be perfect. I would love that. But anyway, garage spaces is important. And again, when you're talking about garage spaces or attic and or basement space, you want one of those three absolutely. So if you find a house that you love that's on a slab or has a basement that's not useful, you really have to have either a very functional attic space or functional garage spaces, because storage is always an issue. It's no fun to live the rest of your life having to rent a storage unit for the stuff that you're never going to see again anyway. So do yourself a favor and consider storage when you're buying a house. Consider that up front, and you'll be very happy that you did. Yard size. privacy requirements. All of these things are needs, okay? So now we're going to jump to desires. Determine your desires. Do you desire granite countertops? That is not a need, by the way. That is a desire. Swimming pool, also a desire, not a need. Fourth or a fifth bedroom. So if you need three and you can buy four, that may be a need. But a fifth bedroom may be a desire. If you need five bedrooms, then that's a need. Fenced yard, again, that could be a convenience. You can always add a fence. Fences are expensive. So any improvements when you're buying a house, by the way, that are already there, save you money because, you know, the cost of a fenced yard could be $4,000 or $5,000, depending on the fencing that they use. But it doesn't change the value of the house by more than $500 or $1,000. So when you see improvements like that, same thing with an in-ground pool, changes the value of the house $5,000 to $7,000. But it would cost you $30,000 to put in. So again, think about that when you're putting in a pool. You really don't want to put in a pool unless that's something that you know you're going to keep that house for a long time and you desire. So nothing wrong with an in-ground pool, but you need to think ahead. Ability to expand. Maybe you have an unfinished basement or accessible attic. These are things to consider. Outbuildings, shed, barn, large garage. So those are all part of the process. I can't believe I thought I was going to blast through this in a day, but we're actually running out of time. Part of the process is looking for motivated sellers. We're going to talk about that in great detail next week, and I've got an acronym for you next week that I'm going to share with you on how this process will work. So stay tuned. Come back next week. I'll probably have both of these blog posts up at the end of next week, so after I do my radio show next week, so you can always check it out there. This one won't be up until maybe the weekend while I'm snow blowing every other minute because it's 40 below and windy. That's a fun thing to do, huh? Looking forward to that. How many of you are looking forward to that? That'll be a great time in our deep freeze here. So anyway, that's part of the process, and tune in next week. We're going to talk about the rest of the process. If you have questions, again, give me a call at the office at Victory Funding. It's 899-7700. At Living Well Realty, it's 899-5000, and we are standing by to help you find the home of your dreams. We work closely with you. We will walk you through the whole process. Clients that work with us love the process. We have a very detailed process that we're going to talk about a little bit next week, and it's going to help you find the right house of your dreams as quickly as you can imagine. In fact, we're going to talk about that too. This process can happen very quickly because the process is just that. It is a process. So it's something we've done over and over again successfully. For now, this is Tim Halliday reminding you to renew your mind daily, stay positive, and be a blessing to those God puts you in contact with. Remember, your attitude and your actions are your choice. May God richly bless you. Thanks for listening today. We'll continue this conversation next week right here on Mortgage Solutions.
To start the process of buying a home, investing in real estate, or obtaining a mortgage for purchase or refinance, call the offices of Victory Funding today at 899-7700. That's 899-7700. Victory Funding is a New York State registered mortgage broker with offices in Malta, New York. NMLS number 49846. All loans are through third-party providers.